Praise the Lord. I'm glad you came to be with us today to worship Christ the Lord. Let all that is within me praise His holy name. Praise God. I've never been to Bethlehem, but I'd sure like to go one day. We've never been to Israel yet, but perhaps one day. But they say it is fairly indistinguishable from many other Judean towns, except for the Church of the Nativity built over the traditional site of Jesus' birth. Bethlehem is located on a ridge some 2,500 feet above sea level and 5 or 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem. With all the grand locations in the world to choose, why in the world did God choose the location Bethlehem for His Son to be born? I can think of three reasons. 700 years before Christ, the prophet Micah, in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, are only a small village among all the peoples of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, will come from you on my behalf." Now, some messianic prophecies seem to be hidden. They are identified and understood only after the event has occurred. Psalm 22 is like that, and Isaiah 53 must have perplexed readers for hundreds of years as to their meaning. Only after the Savior went to the cross did the followers of Jesus realize how those words in the Psalms seemed to bring the thoughts and foresight of the Lord on the cross. And Isaiah, "For He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity." How would they get that until after the event? God placed such prophecies in the Bible so that when they happen, people would be comforted to know He planned it from the beginning. However, Micah chapter 5, verse 2 stands out. God wanted us to know the Savior would be arriving in Bethlehem. And everyone did know, at least those familiar with the Scriptures, even the Magi. We call them three wise men. Arrived in Jerusalem, asking at every corner where the newborn king would be found. Word filtered up to King Herod in the palace, and he called for his advisors, and of course they said, "In Bethlehem." They all agreed, quoting Micah chapter 2. So what happened was God keeps His word. When he spoke the word, in order to show people that He would keep His word. God always keeps His word. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy. Number two, Bethlehem identified with David. The Messiah would be the son of David and sit on the throne of David. Old Testament prophecies emphasize both points again and again, since both Mary and Joseph were of the lineage of David. So Jesus was doubly covered. When the census of Luke chapter 2, verse 1 called everyone to their ancestral home, they made the journey of approximately 100 miles south to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was where Ruth lived and where she gleaned the fields behind Boaz harvesters. Boaz spotted this lovely young widow, and the rest, as they say, is history. Their son Obed became the father of Jesse, who raised a large family of sons and daughters. The youngest was David, who became king. Thereafter, Bethlehem would forever be known as the city of David. Even the angels called it, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." They mentioned that to the shepherds. Undoubtedly, many of the Psalms of David, which God's people have loved and sung for 30 centuries, were inspired. And by the time spent in the same fields and meadows where the shepherds met the angels that wondrous night, one day, as the Lord and his disciples were approaching Jericho, a blind beggar sitting beside the gate began to call out to him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Again and again and again, he repeated his words. When the Lord became within earshot, he had the man brought to him and restored his sight. See, the Son of God is the Son of David. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so his identity was clear. Number three, it was to make connection. Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. Today, Jews call it Bethlehem, meaning house of meat. What more fitting place for one to be born who would be known as the bread of life? One day, Jesus stood and he fed thousands of people with the lunch of a child. Soon afterward, he taught people the meaning of that miracle. In John chapter 6, verse 30, they answered the people, said, "Show us a miracle, a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. But the scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus replied and he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Isaiah asked the people of God in his day, in Isaiah chapter 55 and 2, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread?" That is to say, why are you working and worrying and spending your life for things that do not nourish you, do not strengthen you, they do not satisfy you? And I suppose it could be a great question for us today. See, Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy given hundreds of years earlier. Jesus Christ is the Son of David, born in the city of David. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, born in the house of bread. How much plainer can God make it? Jesus is Lord. We sung it today, worshiping the King. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit, by the Holy Ghost." John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born," listen to this, "which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Why Bethlehem? Why not Bethlehem? Receiving the one who is born, fulfilling scripture, identifying with David, and connecting. We can be connected to the very one born in Bethlehem. And if you are here and you don't know the one who was born in Bethlehem, who actually grew up and died on the cross for you and rose again the third day according to the scripture, if you believe him, you can have life everlasting. I am so happy that you come to join with us today. And I'm going to ask Maxine if you will come and pray and ask God's blessing. And also, if there happen to be those that you happen to have needs and cares and burdens, so you don't have to leave the same way. We're glad that you say, "Well, aren't you going to close the service in prayer?" Well, no, I think we're going to have Maxine do that today. Praise the Lord. Yes, if you have a need in your body and you want prayer for the Lord to touch you in your body, you can just stand up and we'll pray with you.
Father, we come to you this day. We thank you for the privilege of coming here, hearing your word, and serving you. We thank you, oh God, for your answered prayer. Oh my God, my God, my God. We give you thanks this day that you died on the cross that we may have forgiveness from our sin. Oh Lord, we give you thanks. We think of everybody today that are laid aside due to the fact that they don't know you, sir. Lord, help us to be more like you. Oh my God, we thank you for this church. And we pray you bless our brother and sister as they labor. Oh, my God, my God. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. Lord, help us through the years to walk with you and to serve you. Meet the needs of each one here and keep us in your care. We ask in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Maxine. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miles.
We just want to thank everyone who participated today, who was willing to share their gift. We thank the ladies that brought sweets. A couple Sundays ago when I announced, I said you can do a reading, you can do a song, you can do a poem, you can bake cookies. Aren't we all thankful there's people who know how to bake cookies? Praise the Lord. And there's still sweets out there. We don't want you to rush away. Pastor and Ron and I have a gift for you. So if you would just give us a minute to get to the back door. We have a gift for you before you leave. And Pastor Ron, did you want to sing one more song?
One more song.
All right.
It's time again to celebrate the birthday of the King. Into a manger came to take the sin and blame of all mankind, but still we find that people often say, I have no time for Jesus, and from him turn away. Oh, won't you put the Christ back into Christmas? Won't you let this holiday start to put the Christ child in the very center of your heart? They've taken out the name of Christ and put an X instead. They had no room for him, no room in Bethlehem's inn. This world of care may have its share of worry and of strife, but Christ was sent to help you, so give to him your life. Oh, won't you put the Christ back into Christmas? Won't you let this holiday be his? If you never thought it over, start to put the Christ child in the very center of your heart. To put the Christ child in the very center of your heart. God bless you.